Tonight's Amazing Race Recap is sponsored by the Aero Cart by Works. Works reinvents lifting and hauling with the new Works Aero Cart, because with the Aero Cart by Works, it's an 8-in-1 all-purpose carrier, which makes heavy loads easy to lift and haul, because it's like having a wheelbarrow, a trailer mover, and a dolly all in one. I've got a bunch of stuff in my garage that's in the way. I want to try to set up an exercise area, and I will be using my Aero Cart by Works to be lugging that heavy stuff around, because with patented turbo lift technology, it makes lifting 200 pounds feel like you're lifting just 17 pounds. And with two oversized wheels, even awkward loads stay balanced, so you never strain your back. It's not like one of those motorized unicycles that you're on the Amazing Race, because you cannot stay balanced on one of those things. But the Aero Cart by Works is nothing like that. You could be lifting heavy bags of topsoil, gravel, even refrigerators without any help. You could see it all in action at works.com and be like me, a move it all, lift it all, haul it all, know it all. So go to aerocart.com, enter promo code RHAP at checkout to receive free shipping and 10% off. That's aerocart.com, AEROCART.com, and receive free shipping plus 10% off at checkout. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast, and now here's a guy who's neither a carpenter nor a jock. I am Rob Cisternino, and we are ready to talk about now. We're down to the final three on The Amazing Race 28 Social Media Edition, coming to an end 1 week from tonight. And Jessica Leese, what a night this was. Very, very interesting leg of the race. Very exciting.
Yeah, that was definitely, you know, we talk a lot on this show about how editing gets really obvious and really with their tricks and trying to build suspense, but honestly, they killed it tonight. It was neck and neck the whole way, and I couldn't have told you up until the bitter end.
Yeah, I thought that they were really like, they were like giving us, oh, is it going to be Sherry and Cole? Is it going to be Bernie and Ashley? I am like, I'm not falling for it. Don't even try to tell me Sherry and Cole are in the mix. They obviously, because I felt like at the point that they were just like doing the unicycle, and it was like, well, you can fall off as long as you stay close to each other. And I said, okay, this is just like, okay, just finish it up, guys. Like, we need to wrap out this leg of the race, and we just need you guys to finish. Let's just get you to the end. And I was floored that it wasn't a fake out and that they were actually in third place, and Bernie and Ashley are out of the race.
This is a very sad day for me.
Yes.
And it means you're definitely winning the season.
Yes. So Jessica rests all of her fantasy team hopes on the backs of Sherry and Cole coming into next week. But that's neither here nor there right now. It's such a interesting night to talk about on The Amazing Race. And glad we are live here. And glad you guys are with us, whether you're listening to the podcast version or with us live here tonight. We're going to take your questions, hashtag RHAP, or on our YouTube channel, robiswebsite.com/YouTube. In 1 week from tonight, we will be talking about the winner of The Amazing Race 28. But really, Jess, I just can't get over this, that I can't believe. I thought we were going to have this neck and neck battle similar to last season, where we went down to, you know, it was like going to be either going to be the green team, or we felt like, okay, the reporters, they were the team, the second place team. And then Bernie and Ashley are done.
Yeah, I mean, speaking purely in the abstract, I think this is a good outcome, just because you don't want the same beats in every season.
Right.
And I would have felt like the story we were getting for Bernie and Ashley was second place. And now they're not in second place because they've won and they finally beat their curse. So I'm okay with the fact that they're going out of this in this spot, just purely because I don't want to see the same story twice.
Yeah, I understand that. But I just felt like that Bernie and Ashley, I feel like that there would have been no chance they weren't going to be in the finals. That I felt like of the teams that we talked about, we always had them right there in our power rankings, and they were either going to be 1-2. They were such a big part of last week where they knocked out the Frisbee Bros. And I just really thought that they were going to go all the way toe to tip top toes with Tyler and Corey.
Yeah, that's what I thought we were leading up to too. Just based on like looking at everybody's raw stats, they were definitely the best team left to beat Tyler and Corey.
And even tonight, half an hour into this episode, it looked like, okay, well, we have where Tyler is working with Dana and they're going to work together, but Bernie figured out what they were doing. Bernie is in first place by the time they leave the amusement park. And then we get to just picking the wrong detour and not being able to bounce back from that.
Yeah. And you know, David Bloomberg talks a lot about why didn't this person win Survivor and, you know, what rule did they break? And I think a lot of times on Amazing Race, you can't quite so clearly say, like, this is a rule and you broke it and that's why you lost. But in this case, it kind of, they took a bigger risk than they had to at this point.
Yeah. So what was the problem? Were they too focused on a first place finish here? Like, should they at the point, you know, they have to decide first because, or were all three teams bunched up at that point? Should they have just done whatever the pack was doing?
I think at that point, what they were banking on, and it's something like, it's not totally crazy to think this because we have seen this happen a lot of times before. We've seen a team pick the detour that nobody else is doing, and it turns out to be awesome, and they get through it quickly. And I don't think you can bank on that, though, and I think they were thinking this would get them first place when really they needed to be thinking about what was the quickest path to get them to not last place.
That's really interesting. So do you feel like that at the point where Sherry and Cole were really stuck, that Sherry was way behind everybody, seemingly, from what we saw in the episode? I mean, we had two act breaks on Sherry on the same task, which is kind of unheard of on The Amazing Race, to have go to commercial twice with one team still struggling with the same task. And then do you feel like that Bernie got to the point where he's like, you know what? Screw these other two teams. They're going to work against us. Well, we're going to go completely against them. We'll go and do the opposite of what the other teams are doing. And we'll show them, if they think that they can gang up on us, we're going to go the other direction and we're going to beat them to the finish line.
Yeah, I think that was definitely their rationale. They thought, you know, we're going to show them, you know, if they're going to not help us and they're not going to, and they're going to collude against us, we're going to destroy them. And I think they have an easier path to destroying people if you know what the other people are doing.
Yeah.
Like, that's just some straight Sun Tzu art of war stuff.
Well, hey, that's a really interesting question and something definitely that I want to touch on in my exit interview, not to get too far down the amateur psychologist rabbit hole. We will get to speak with Rooster Teeth on our exit interview, but it will not be on Monday. That the exit press day is going to be Tuesday. Obviously, Bernie and Ashley are very busy, and we certainly appreciate them taking the time to do the exit press. So it's going to be recorded Tuesday morning as opposed to Monday morning when we normally do the exit press. So the exit press day being moved around, and then hopefully coming up the following week, we will have our exit interviews with the final three teams, including the winner.
That sounds good to me.
Sounds good to me. So
I can't believe we're almost at the end. One more episode.
Well, I mean, it's really, what a turn of events in this season of The Amazing Race, where we kind of felt like 2 weeks ago, going down to the end, we figured, okay, you'll have Tyler and Corey in the finale, and then they'll be going against the Frisbee Bros and Rooster Teeth. And really, back to back, we have these two big threats to Tyler and Corey, which are really were the big three all season long, are now gone. And it's really Tyler and Corey's race to lose at this point.
Yeah, but you know, we've said that about stronger teams.
Yeah.
Like, there have been plenty of strong teams going into the finals. We thought, there's no way these guys are getting beaten. And they get beaten.
Yeah. Which season? Give me an example. Did Jim and Misty? Is that where you're going?
Jim and Misty was the first one I was thinking of.
Yeah.
For sure. And I honestly thought Justin and Diana had it in the bag, even though their edit was telling us something completely different.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like, all things considered, though, this would be a monumental upset if it's not Tyler and Corey winning this thing, right?
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think that's where the edit's pointing to.
Would it be the biggest upset in the history of the show if they don't win next week?
No, because we have to take into account the Beekman boys.
Yeah. I guess so.
We thought it was going to be the Chippendales race to lose, too.
But did the Chippendales have five first place finishes under their belt?
No, but they were solid.
Under their garter belt?
I don't actually remember how many legs the Chippendales won, and I hope somebody in the chat room will look that up, because I feel like they won their fair share.
Okay. So I think it's going to be really interesting to watch. But to me, the story next Friday is, can Tyler and Corey finish the job? They've been so strong. And really, you know, we talked about where they sort of had their rocky part of the race, where sort of around like 7 or 8, where they were sort of like, you know, flirting with the back of the pack. They bounced back and they haven't missed a beat since then. Bernie and Ashley never had that point. They never had the wet leg where, and Bernie said it at the end of the show, where it was just we had our bad leg and it was just too late in the race to bounce back from it.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment.
Yeah.
And sure.
No, I just have a lot of respect for Bernie and Ashley and the race that they ran. Even Bernie, I thought that this might have been like his strongest night on the show, and it's just, I can't believe that they're out of the race on this leg.
Yeah, it seemed like, I think the one storytelling beat that might be pointing the direction of Tyler and Corey not winning this is they were not painted in the most flattering light. And I don't know if this is to set them up for a loss or if it's just to set up Bernie and Ashley's downfall.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of this little, like, it was so inconsequential in the big picture. Like, oh, they told other people not to show their clues to each other. And, oh, they said they hadn't found something when they had, which happens every leg of every season. And it seemed like Bernie and Ashley were getting a little more bent out of shape than people usually do about that kind of thing.
But did you think that was more part of Bernie and Ashley's story of that they were getting frustrated, or you feel like that the show is painting a Tyler and Corey beginning to get overconfident storyline? Because
well,
now
that's what I'm saying. I'm not sure which it is.
Because I mean, that would be a real fall from grace that they've spent the whole race, you know, really focused on, we have to beat the Frisbee Bros, and the Frisbee Bros are gone, and now we have to beat Rooster Teeth, and now Rooster Teeth is gone, and now it's seemingly nobody is there to stop them. It would be a major stumble to have them not cross the finish line at this point.
Yeah, I agree. But I think we've liked them all along. Like, they really haven't been, they haven't been devious. They haven't been, you know, they haven't been sinister. They've just been good racers. And now all of a sudden we're meant to think that they're, you know, that they took down Bernie and Ashley, who they worked with last leg.
But I think that the interesting thing is that I don't know if necessarily that they were depicted as the villains. If anything, that the hashtag the villains came up for Bernie and Ashley, not for Tyler and Corey. So why?
Yeah, semi-sarcastically.
So I feel like that while they have definitely played hard, I don't think that the show has depicted them in a villainous way.
The show hasn't depicted anybody in a villainous way this season, Rob. It's been like hugs and, you know, s'mores and kumbaya from day one. Like, everybody is BFFs with each other. This is the sole point of conflict we've had in a really long time.
Well, now, if you were going to try to tell the story of how Tyler and Corey don't potentially win next week, I don't think that we're looking at Dana and Matt as the team that's going to unseat them. You have to think that the story that started tonight with the comeback kids, you have to feel like, from a narrative point of view, that Sherry and Cole are the only team that could beat Tyler and Corey.
I think so. I think that's accurate, because I think also if it was going to be Dana and Matt, we would have seen a lot more of Dana and Matt this episode. And we really didn't. We saw them working with Tyler and Corey. And we saw them kind of, you know, it's like the notable absence of their yelling at each other.
Yeah. We got a healthy dose of Sherry and Cole, and they are likable. They're so darn likable, Sherry and Cole. And they really did a great job coming through on that unicycle task.
They certainly did. And that did not look easy.
Yeah. Jess, did you think the same thing that I thought at the point where they had, when they finally had to go through the, did you feel like that they were just sort of like, you're fine?
Yeah. My thought on that is that I would guess that, you know, all of these tasks, much like Survivor, all of the tasks are tested and tested and tested before the racers are made to do them. So that's when you decide, like, how much do you need to do in order to pass the task? And, you know, what constitutes correctly performing it? And you know as well as I do that not every task has the same, like, strict draconian metrics. And I would guess that when they tested this task, the weather was very different. Mm-hmm. And I think it, at a certain point, like, the wet pavement becomes dangerous. And certainly those things are harder to maneuver when it's raining. So I would guess at a certain point, the producers figured if they can just get through the course, you know, we can't be here for 8 hours while they stumble on this. Like, Phil's got a flight to catch. It's pouring rain. It wasn't raining when we tried this. Let's just make them get from one end to the other. If they fall off, whatever.
But it just, to me, we have at the other task, the other part of the detour, they're getting out the T-square and they're saying, this is, no, you need to move this a smidge. They're being so technical on the other side of the detour. It seems so unamazing race-like for them to say, not like, oh, you could only fall off the thing three times or they're not being a judge. It was just sort of like, if you just can get through it, it doesn't matter how many times you fall down. If you just stay near each other, then that's fine. It seemed like that was very wishy-washy to me on the part of the Amazing
Race. There was also no safety hazard when you're hanging a painting, except maybe like banging your thumb a little bit or, you know.
See, I'm just saying, if I'm Rooster Teeth and I'm watching the episode tonight, I think I'm finding that a little annoying that it's so loosey-goosey on that side of the detour. I feel like that if they would have said, like, well, if we would have known that you just have to, like, be
in
the neighborhood.
Your own exit interview with the Frisbee Bros underlines this point. You asked them your convoluted fan fiction-y question.
How dare you, Joe? Go back to the part where I asked a good question.
Yeah, you asked them a very good question. Albeit a very fan fiction-y question, like, don't you guys think you should have used your express pass at a different point? And they said, well, sure, when we watched the episode and we had all the information in front of us, but in the moment we didn't have the information in front of us. And this is the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't have the information in front of them at the time. They didn't know how the cycling task would be judged versus the painting task. And they had to just kind of go with, we can't get from, you know, point A to point B 10 feet away on this thing yet. We got to imagine we're going to be better at hanging a painting, and they switched. And of course, it wasn't the right choice. Like, honestly, it wasn't the right choice to try this cycling in the first place, if you ask me. But there, you can't fault them for not knowing that the other task was not going to be judged harshly.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk more about the seemingly bad blood between Bernie and Ashley and the alliance between Tyler and Corey and Dana and Matt. We did see, as you mentioned, where Tyler and Corey were pretending that they didn't have their clues. Bernie and Ashley come through with where Sherry and Cole are, and they have their clue out, which sort of outs what Tyler and Corey are doing to Sherry and Cole, which they did not appreciate. But it seemed like that there was some name calling going on at the, I keep saying amusement park, the Windows of the World, where you could see all these different landmarks. There was a term that was thrown around. I want to make sure I have the quote right, where jackass, it seems like Dana called Bernie a jackass once or twice. Didn't that seem like the race seemingly took a turn towards the negative?
Yeah, things got a little heated.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think happened?
I think they're just at a point now, like, they're all tired. Like, flying to China from pretty much anywhere is going to wear you out.
Mm-hmm.
And they're near the end. They can taste the finals. They don't want to go up against this guy. The slightest thing at this point is enough to make you want to turn on anybody.
Yeah. I did find it really interesting, that point where you had Tyler working with Dana and they were going through with all the passports and they had the stickers and they were putting the backings of the stickers in the little receptacles that were there. And Bernie, almost like a Sherlock Holmes-esque move, was going through and was like finding the backings from the stickers and knew that was where Tyler and Dana had been placing stickers.
Yeah, well, I think the other thing he observed, I'm not totally 100% on this, but I think what the other thing he was saying was that if you have the stickers and they're all like attached on a roll, and you take one of the stickers and you leave the back of the sticker attached to everything else, it makes it easier to get the next sticker off.
Mm.
So I think that's what he was saying there, that if he was, he could not only see who'd already been there, but he was making it harder for the next person to come along to get that sticker off the backing. And like every little second counts.
Mm. So Jess, is this a case where littering pays?
Evidently. And although I don't know, it seemed like this was one of those like super clean cities.
Yeah.
You know, this was like Singapore levels of clean, and you know what happens when you litter in Singapore.
Yes. Yes. So
I would be very careful about littering in a country where I wasn't sure of the laws.
Yeah, you want to check the caning precedent in the city before you start throwing paper around.
Yeah, I mean, they feed you the merlions in Singapore.
Yeah. In terms of the leg design, Jess, does it annoy you that we go to China but then go to some sort of a theme park where we're seeing replicas of other icons around the world?
Yeah, this seemed a little bit cheap.
A little touristy.
Yeah, and a little bit like, you know, you're in China. Why aren't you doing something Chinese?
Yeah.
It was cool. Like, this is clearly a very well-executed park. And although, as a New Yorker of some years, I don't know that I like the name all that much. So, you know, it was kind of a cool place to look. But, you know, if you were having a leg in the U.S., you wouldn't go to frickin' Epcot, would you?
Right. Like, to me, I went to Legoland last summer, and they have sort of like, it's the, you know, seven wonders of the world made of Legos.
Well, that's another thing, because it's made of Legos. This is just like made of plastic.
Right. No, I wasn't super impressed. Although I saw Tyler was tweeting about it. I think that I guess when you're actually there, it's a pretty spacious place. Like, it seems like it was expansive.
Huge. It looked like they had a lot of stuff there, and it was like, there was even a lot of stuff we didn't see, but all the same, you know, this is about seeing the world, not seeing a scale replica of the world, right?
Right. Like, not going to a theme park where we have models of the different places around the world.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It was cute, I guess. And it was kind of fun to watch them like puzzle out what all these clues meant. But yeah, honestly, I don't need them to have a leg of the race in Chinese Epcot.
Right. Did anything stand out to you otherwise about the leg design? Did you like the detour tasks?
Yeah, I did like the detour tasks. I thought, you know, they weren't necessarily like the most culturally relevant things, but they were, you know, they were balanced enough that you could theoretically complete them both in a similar amount of time. They were, one of them required a lot more like mastering a new skill versus kind of calling on an old skill. And I do kind of like that. Like, can you learn something quickly? Can you pick it up quickly enough? Or are you better off doing something that's not necessarily skill based, but requires a lot of detail and precision?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the unicycle task did seem incredibly difficult. Would you say, did Bernie and Ashley, did you feel like they didn't pull the ripcord fast enough on that to get out of there?
Well, I think they probably shouldn't have gone there in the first place. But again, 2020 hindsight.
Mm-hmm.
I think they at least gave it a shot. Because, you know, you can't tell from the first 10 seconds of anything whether you're going to be able to figure out how to do it. And that goes doubly true on a show like this, where you don't know what they're going to throw at you, and you don't know how much of it you're going to have to know how to do.
See, I can. I have that ability. That's sort of my X-Men power of 10 seconds of any activity. I can tell immediately if I'm going to ever be able to do it.
Well, that's self-awareness like that is what's going to win you that $1 million when you go on The Amazing Race. Right?
I mean, it's kind of a cheat because the answer is just typically 99 times out of 100. Really, the answer is no. Right. Yeah. It's like if I have it down in 10 seconds, I'm like, oh, this is the one thing I can do. That's usually how it goes. All right. So let's start to look at this final three heading into the final leg. again, not a big gap in time between where these teams are. I feel like that also we're probably going to get this equalizer here. Jess, is there anything that you could tell us about the final leg preview?
I couldn't even tell where they were, to mm-hmm. be honest. And I'm sure I knew that information at some point, but it looked like there is one of those fear-based tasks where you got to jump off something and everybody's freaked out about that. It looked like there was some drama around, like maybe Sherry had a helmet on, which meant she was doing something death-defying. And I don't know. It looked like a fairly typical final leg.
Yeah, Cole's afraid of heights, but it really hasn't slowed him down on any of the height-based tasks.
No, I mean, they've both been really, really good. Like, that's the thing about the crippling fears on The Amazing Race. I don't mind if you have them, but if you let them destroy your game versus, you know, just kind of saying, I don't like doing this. This, I don't know if I can do this. And then going and doing it and having it be no thing.
Right.
You know?
Okay. So if we're going to handicap this final leg, do you have odds on Tyler and Corey winning this next week?
I think that's where your even money is.
Even money. Okay.
Even money on Tyler and Corey.
All right. And then how do you handicap the second place team? Who do you think has the second best odds to win this leg next week?
I think no matter who wins, I think Dana and Matt are taking second place.
Hmm. Okay.
I would put them like second best odds to like sneak up and win it. And you gotta think that Cole and Sherry are the long shots. Like their average placement. Someone posted it in the chat room a little while ago. I guess shout out to Mike for doing that. Their average placement is almost sixth place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of crazy terrible for people going into the finals. They are the darkest of dark horses at this point.
Okay. But never say never on The Amazing Race.
Yeah, you know, anything can happen. And, you know, Amy and Maya can win. Beekman boys can win. You know, if we want to dig deep into the archives, you know, Eric and Danielle can win.
Yeah.
Flo and Zach can win. It's really, you make it to the finals, you have a chance of winning no matter who you are.
Let me just, before we get to these questions.
Unless you're Team Guido.
Before we get to the questions, let me just take your temperature real quick. Before this season started, you and Dan Heaton and Mike Bloom ranked the top 27 seasons of The Amazing Race. Here we are, 11 episodes into this season. Neatly, this season would either fall into a top half or a bottom half, I think. Jess, where would you have it?
I'd have it somewhere around the middle. Like, it's been surprisingly entertaining. We've had a great cast of people that really seem passionate about being there. Like there haven't been very many teams that I've felt like, you know, we're just kind of phoning it in.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes a long way. We had a good course. We went to some cool places. We went to entirely new countries that weren't just like, oh, look at that tiny speck on the map. We haven't been there yet. So I would probably put this top half.
So,
but I think it's like kind of, I think it's towards the bottom of the top half.
That you only said things that were positive about it. What are the things that you hold against this season?
Things that I hold against this season, there was really not a lot of inter-team conflict, which I think is kind of key. It seemed like we didn't have a lot of new personalities, like people that really brought some kind of new dynamic to the show. We had a couple of people that kind of revisited some character traits that we don't necessarily love as much. And honestly, I think overall there were a lot of weeks in there where there were entire teams I forgot they were even there.
Yeah.
Like Zach and Rachel, who, seriously. I'm sure they're great people and their videos are awesome, but they were invisible a lot of the time. And I have a hard time with seasons where everybody takes a back seat to like the top two or three teams. And this wasn't that bad, but I want to get to know everybody. Like I want to have, everybody should have a fair shot at having people rooting for them.
Top heavy season is what you're saying.
Yeah, it was a little top heavy.
Okay. Did I miss it tonight? Did Tyler and Corey get a prize for first place?
I'm sure they did. I don't think They said what it was.
They didn't say what it was. Okay.
No, we didn't get like a, you know, a Travelocity montage.
All right. So let's get into some of the questions. Let's start with Gregory McBean has a question. Do Bernie and Ashley have a chance of going on an all-star season? Jess, I think it's going to be very interesting to see how we do all-stars from this season. In some ways, this was kind of like a celebrity edition of the show. Do you think that we will see teams from this social media season potentially mixed in the next all-star season that they do?
Well, I absolutely do, mostly because I'm sure we're going to cast a new another all-star season well before we have enough people to really do a good one.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to need to mine this pool.
Yeah.
And I do think, I think Bernie and Ashley are in a demographic that's pretty easy to fill.
Yeah. What is that?
They're a longer-term couple. Like, you have kind of three different kinds of couples. You have your young, fresh-faced dating couple. You have your couple that yells at each other all the time. And then you have your couple that's like a little more settled and a little more grounded.
Mm-hmm.
And they're definitely in the grounded couple dynamic, and there are a lot of those.
Yeah. So
I don't know. And I think their lives are fine. Like, I don't know how much unfinished business they feel like they really have. And they're, you know, internet moguls on their own. Mm-hmm. Like, are they going to feel the burning need to come back?
Feel the burn.
I don't know.
Yeah. All right. So I think that if they wanted to come back, I'm sure The Amazing Race would have them. But I do think it probably resides with them. And how badly do they want to do it? I think if they said, like, hey, we want to come back, you know, I think they have a big enough following where, you know, if maybe you might have a team that might be a little more drama, I think that you're probably getting more bang for your buck with Rooster Teeth.
Yeah, like I would say out of this season, I would suspect we would see, like, if Tyler and Corey don't win, they are locks to come back. And I think
anytime they want,
like, right, they could come back next season. I think they'd let them on.
I think so.
And I think Sherry and Cole are a harder dynamic to fill. So they would probably, I think they would be asked back.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's keep going. This is a question from The Elk Speaks. Wants to know, did Tyler and Corey get the villain edit or a strategic game player edit tonight? What do you think? What's your locked-in answer on that?
Well, I think it was like a half-assed villain edit. Like, I didn't believe it. Mm-hmm. It seemed like they were kind of throwing that in there to throw something in there.
I just feel like that anybody who's like playing the game strategically on The Amazing Race comes off villainous, but I don't think that there was anything particularly villainous about what they did.
Yeah, that's exactly. I think the show tried to play it up as being villainous, but it didn't look like on its face like that's exactly what they're playing the game the way it should be played. Like, that's exactly what everybody should do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I don't think that they did anything that's causing people to root against them in any way. Unless you are a diehard Rooster Teeth fan, maybe you're saying like, oh, they're villains.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. But, you know, and it's hard for me to gauge because I didn't really know who any of these people were coming into the season. Like, I'd heard of Tyler and I heard of Rooster Teeth because they were up against us for a podcast award at one point.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard for me to gauge, like, how much diehard fan love there is for these teams, like, outside of their, you know, internet mogul bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are people watching this show and having passionate feelings for one or the other?
It's a great question. I don't know if we ever got the answer to it this season.
I don't think we ever did. And I think that's part of the strength of the season, to be honest. Like, if they kept hammering home people's internet fan bases and talking about, like, how important this was to the season, we'd probably be a lot more down on this, mm-hmm. but without having any context of who any of these people are, it's still been a pretty great season.
Yeah. This is a question from Lee Cupcake, who says, I feel like there weren't many dancing tasks this season. Is it because the dancers or overuse on previous legs? What do you think, Jess?
You know, I think they plan the course well before they know who's going to be on the show. I don't think the fact that there were dancers on the show had anything to do with the fact there weren't any dancing tasks. I just think we've had a lot of them in recent seasons, and they probably wanted to back off from that and try something new.
Okay. This is a question from Irina. Was Bernie and Ashley's downfall their pursuit of the elusive first place? If they played it safe, they would have been third at worst.
Yeah, I think we touched on that a little bit already. I think they absolutely would have been in third place if they just kind of followed the pack.
Jess, you touched on this before in terms of Sherry and Cole and their hard to fill dynamic. Are they the first ever mother and son team to make it to a final three?
No, that'd be Luke and Margie.
Luke and Margie. How quickly we forget.
Season 14.
Mr. Air Sonic. All right. Sydney says, hypothetically, what would be the biggest shocker to come from next week's finale? So it would be what, Jess?
I think Sherry and Cole blowout victory.
Okay. That would be the biggest shocker. Yeah. I think that any sort of Tyler and Corey flame out, I think would be, you know, pretty shocking at this point.
I'm changing my answer. Tyler and Corey Guido edit.
Guido, what, would they just have like a disastrous final leg?
They show where, like, you know, they have the winner, they have the second place, and then it cuts to Tyler and Corey somewhere completely elsewhere on the space-time continuum, opening a clue box and opening a clue, and it says, the race is over, someone else won, you guys are finished.
Yeah.
That would be the most shocking.
Be very shocking at this point. I think a lot of people would be very upset with that finish to the Amazing Race.
Yeah, I think that would upset me for sure.
Okay, Sino Chick 21. Why was Bernie so upset that Tyler and Corey didn't help them? They're all fighting for a spot in the final, so why would Tyler and Corey help?
Yeah, see, the great Linda Holmes, who kind of pioneered the art of Amazing Race analysis back in the day, she had one thing and one thing only she would say about this sort of thing. And it would be in all caps, and it would just be race.
Hmm.
What that means is, you know, you're competing. It's not, you know, amazing, fun times, happy campfire songs. It is, you know, why would you help someone at this point?
Do you think that Bernie and Ashley, though, were a little surprised at how quickly Tyler and Corey did the pivot, where it was that they weren't exactly working with Bernie and Ashley on the last leg, but it was like, okay, we have this common enemy in the Frisbee Bros, and now that they're vanquished, I think that maybe it was a little bit of a surprise for Bernie, at least, that, oh, I'm the new Frisbee Bro. You know, I'm the new team that Tyler and Corey are conspiring against.
You know, I'm surprised that he would be surprised at that, because he had to know, like, who's the biggest competition. You know, the biggest competition for everybody in the previous leg was the Frisbee Bros. Mm-hmm. We got to get them out of the way. But now, who's the top dog? And at a certain point, I mean, you see this in every one of these shows that has that element of strategy. You can hide behind someone for a while, and once that big threat is gone, someone else is going to step up to be the big threat.
Mm-hmm. Is that a point for keeping the bigger threats in the game?
Up to a point. And I mean, I think everybody was gunning for them all along. I think you want to get that big threat out as soon as you can.
Mm-hmm. All right. This is a question from Derek. Jess, all right, put your tinfoil hat on for this. The picture in the pit stop clue is not the library, but the largest city hall in the world. It's misleading. Do you think that Rooster Teeth got there but failed to find Phil, or lost when they abandoned their cab and they didn't even finish the detour before Sherry and Cole?
Well, I think it's really hard to tell exactly how far behind they were. And it looks like there was a difference of a few minutes, but it looked like everybody got tripped up by that same thing. Like, it's in this complex. Here is this landmark building. You're going to the library. And It turns out you get to that exact building. That's not the library. Library is like behind it or something. And there's some guys playing drums. And I think it's just really, like, I don't think that was the thing that tripped them up. It might well have been. Like, they could have, it looked like a pretty big complex. Like, you could see that big building in the distance behind Phil. And it looked like it was quite a ways away. But I'm not sure that was the exact thing that tripped them up.
Okay. Jeremiah Yap wants to know, has the show ever had a clue box situated at an airport? I found this positioning rather odd, Jess.
That was a little bit odd, but, you know, I don't smell shenanigans.
Okay. No shenanigans there whatsoever. I mean, how often did they do that?
I don't know. Often enough. It's not weird.
Okay. Not too weird to have the clue box at the airport. What about the idea that let's hide our clue? Don't let other teams that know that we have a clue. I feel like that's not talked about a lot. Is that go on a lot more than we realize in the Amazing Race?
Yeah, I think we've seen it happen a lot where we've seen people, you know, did you find the clue? And they say no. And they, of course, they have the clue and they're on their way out. That happens a lot.
Okay. All right, Jess.
First leg of Amazing Race Norway season one, like almost the entire thing took place in the airport. And they had to run to all these different vendors and try to find tickets that different vendors were holding on to. And, you know, it wasn't great television, but there's precedent.
Yeah, it seems pretty low budge for the Amazing Race to not leave the airport.
Yeah, well, at least they didn't film the entire season at Windows of the World.
Okay. Well, no, nobody's done that yet.
Not yet. Don't give them ideas.
All right. That's going to be at like the Amazing Race, that one of these fan seasons, like Amazing Race Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Like that. Okay. All right. So, Jess, that's it. I got no more questions for you.
Out of questions. Okay.
Jess, do you have a hashtag for tonight?
I had one in my mind and then it went away.
Okay. Well, wait for one from the chat room. Okay. So here's what's coming up this next week. On the podcast, we're going to have our exit interview with Rooster Teeth. That's going to be coming up on Tuesday. Looking forward to that and getting to hear some of the insight from Bernie and Ashley. A lot of people have been sending me links to the Bernie and Ashley Rooster Teeth podcast talking about the Amazing Race. I haven't had a chance to listen to that yet, but I'll definitely try to give that a listen before we get to the exit interview coming up next week. But just for anybody who's looking for more information about that, I hear that that's pretty good info.
Yeah, that's what I hear too, but I haven't been listening. Try not to listen to other people's podcasts. I guess I can make an exception if you're actually on the show in the moment, but you know, you never want to like pick something up subconsciously and then have them accuse you of ripping them off.
No, I get that with Survivor. If I ever listen to anything else Survivor, I wait until after my podcast for the week are done just to hear what other people are talking about. But yeah, Inception is a thing, so you got to watch out for that. So that's going to be coming up on Tuesday. And then 1 week from tonight, Jessica and I will be live after the Amazing Race 28 finale to talk about it all, 9:15 p.m. Eastern time. On Friday the 13th, anything could happen. Ooh. Okay. So maybe bad omen for Tyler and Corey, I guess, the finale on Friday the 13th.
It could be. You know, maybe one of these teams is going to get murdered by a guy in a hockey mask.
Oh, let's hope not. All right. So could be a good omen for one of the other teams. And we will find out exactly how it all plays out 1 week from tonight. And then we'll have our exit interviews with the final three teams coming up. Finale, the week after the finale, it'll be when we get to Survivor finale week. And then school's out for summer until Amazing Race Canada picks up.
School's out forever.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Hashtag Scott Schaefer says burned out. Hashtag littering pays. I like that. I think that's
pays. Let's go with it.
That's to do with our analysis. All right. So that's going to do it for us here tonight. Of course, you could follow Jess on Twitter. She is at Haymaker Hattie. I'm at Rob Sestrino. A lot of other great podcasts this week on RHAP. Parvati Shallow. We had our great voicemail podcast with Mike Bloom. Survivor Exit Interview. We just did our Big Brother Canada recap earlier tonight. News AF. Lots of stuff going on there. And of course, plenty on post-show recaps as well. Talking Game of Thrones, Fear the Walking Dead, Mr. Robot, and much more there as well. Jess, any final thoughts tonight?
I'm very excited for next week. I think it's going to be a very fun finale.
Okay, we'll see how it all plays out 1 week from tonight. Take care, everybody. Have a good weekend. Bye.